College seminary was a very exhausting time. Sometimes it seemed like the schedule was so booked just to see if guys could handle the stress. Mass was at 7 a.m. each morning, and then we had to scarf down our breakfast at the cafeteria before classes started at 8:15. As the gospel was finishing during Mass, we all prayed that the priest would preach a short homily so that we actually had time to enjoy our breakfast. Classes would go until late afternoon, and then we'd go to our outreach for a couple hours, helping others in the Twin Cities area. We would come back for dinner, and then we had mandatory study hours from 7 till 9 p.m. At 9 o'clock, we had our floor meetings, and this wasn't only a business meeting, but also a time of fraternity, a time to hang out with our brother seminarians. And it was good, but we were often lucky if we got back to our rooms by 10:30 at night. And then it was time to get ready for bed. And I mentioned that Mass was at 7 a.m., but Mass was not the first event of the day. The first event was a 6 a.m. hour of Eucharistic adoration. And with 25 college men on a floor with only four showers, you had to get up quite early if you wanted a hot shower or a shower at all. So with everything we had going on at college seminary, we might ask why we had to start our day so early, why we had to have that hour of Eucharistic adoration. Why did that need to be in the schedule? Couldn't have that been something we cut out? Well, to answer that, we probably just need to answer the question, what is Eucharistic adoration? And I think a few of us, at least, know quite well what it is, those who experience it in our parishes. And some, I think, have a decent idea of what it is, while I am certain that some really don't know what Eucharistic adoration is. Remember that the Eucharist is Jesus. And adoration means to adore or to worship. And so, Eucharistic adoration is to worship Jesus. It's a special time that we have with the Lord. And I know many of us might say, well, I can just worship Jesus in other ways, or I don't need to have a dedicated prayer time when I can just pray throughout the day. And I think for most of us, when we say things like this, it's often sort of just an excuse for us. An excuse not to go deeper. An excuse not to be intentional about growing in our relationship with Jesus. And even for those of us who actually are really good at praying throughout the day, who really don't need a dedicated time, there's still nothing like Eucharistic adoration. To be in the physical presence of Jesus. To see Him face to face. Remember, the Eucharist is Jesus. And Jesus is God. We get to go face to face with God, our Maker. Worship the living God, being in His physical presence. This will change our lives if we commit to it. Today in the Gospel, we see Jesus giving Himself in the Eucharist for the very first time to His apostles, the Last Supper. They're told then to continue this ministry, to give Him to those who are united in the one faith. I don't know if we realize how blessed we are as Catholics to have the Eucharist. There is no Protestant church who claims what the Catholic Church claims about the Eucharist. We believe that the bread and wine that will come forward in just a few minutes no longer is bread and wine after the priest prays over it in the Eucharistic prayer. And it's not just the Eucharist for this moment, but we know that if there's any host left over, we put Jesus in the tabernacle so that anyone who ever comes into the church can bow down and worship our Lord who is present here. There's no Protestant church that claims what we claim about the Eucharist. There's no Protestant church that claims that through the Holy Spirit, the words that the priest says, which are the words of Jesus, transform bread and wine into Jesus Himself. This grace was given to the priests at ordination. Just as Jesus lays his hands on his apostles, making them the first priests, so they continue this ministry. We see it in the Acts of the Apostles. We see it in the letters of Paul. The apostles then laying hands and making new bishops and priests. And those bishops continued to lay hands, making new priests for 2,000 years, even down to this day. And this is the central mystery of our faith. The Eucharist was given to his apostles with the authority and the command to hand it on. It wasn't given to Martin Luther. It wasn't given to Ulrich Zwingli or John Calvin or John Wesley or any other founder of any other denomination. Jesus Christ founded his church on his apostles, and he handed it to them. And they've handed it on to this day. So do we believe? Do we believe what Jesus says? Do we believe what he told us, that his flesh is true food and his blood is true drink, and we must eat and drink the flesh and blood of the Son of Man to have eternal life? Do we stand with Jesus when he taught this and others walked away? Do we stay with him and believe what he taught? Do we believe as he gave to his apostles, take and eat, this is my body. Take and drink, this is my blood. Do this in remembrance of me. Do we do that? Do we believe it? That what is here is not a symbol, but actually the command of the Lord made present on this altar. If we believe it, there's no way we could ever intentionally skip Sunday Mass. If we believe it, there's no way we could ever leave the Catholic Church. We all probably even have family members, certainly friends or neighbors, who we know used to be at Mass and no longer are, and they have 1,000 excuses. My church closed. The priest was mean to me. The priest doesn't really give good homilies. I don't like the music. Secretary or another staff member said something I didn't like. We've heard it all. But the question we need to ask them is, do you believe that this is Jesus Christ? And if you do, how could you ever walk away from him? Jesus is Lord, and he gives himself to us in the Eucharist. Let's make a commitment today to let go of our selfishness, to live for Jesus, to worship him in Eucharistic adoration, or if we can't make it to adoration, to worship him right here in the tabernacle. It is the same Jesus Christ. Come to church early to kneel down before the Lord. Dress your best because you are coming to meet our God. To not use the church proper as a social space, but as a place of worship. And to reserve conversations for the gathering space, the social hall, or to wait until we leave the church. To receive him worthily by going to confession often. For we will never be transformed by the Eucharist. We will never desire to grow deeper in relationship with Jesus. We will never be the disciples that God calls us to be through the Eucharist if our sins are in the way. This is the reason I preach about confession so often. Because I don't want you to miss out on the graces you could receive right here. If we say to ourselves, you know, I don't feel any different after receiving the Eucharist, or I don't have a desire to grow in deeper relationship with Jesus, or I'm not making a commitment to say more prayers, or to come to Eucharist adoration, or to come to church early to be with our God. When was the last time I went to confession so that my soul could actually be cleansed of sin? And so that the Eucharistic grace that comes from the Lord when we receive him can transform me. On this feast of Corpus Christi, let's make a commitment to our Lord to worship him more fervently, to receive him more worthily, and to allow him to transform our lives. The Eucharist is Jesus, and Jesus is God. Let's live this truth.